welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, the 19th day of November, 2025. I want to welcome everyone to tonight's program. Thanks for joining me. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. I really appreciate all of you. I appreciate all of you watching live, whether it's on X or on Rumble. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, boy, there's just a lot of news, isn't there? And I want to talk to you about that because we have to do something, don't we? I think we do. But what? But what? That's the question. Just some of the things that are percolating there under the surface. Just kind of a brief rundown. So now, President Trump, he signed the bill to release the Epstein files. Of course, you know, within the guardrails of concerns for national security. Am I right? All right. So what does that look like? Well, you know, I got to say, Are you expecting anything of substance to come about of this? Eric the Tech, I'm going to send something to you here right now. I wasn't planning on doing this. And this may or may not apply. How's that for a, it's going to apply to something anyway. I'm just going to put this as a link. That's all. And so I'm going to send this to you. It's a short, it's a very short, a bit of information and, it's a short video. But it speaks to where we are at today. Okay. The perception, and this is the thing, because the title of tonight's program is, you know, navigating through the chaos or through the current events and coming chaos, or what is it? It's something like that. Why should I know? I wrote it, right? But okay. There it is, right? They're navigating through the chaos and coming events. Okay. So what we're seeing right now is just a very chaotic environment. And as I said before, and I'll say this again, and I'll say it all of the time, this is by design. And, you know, we do speak, for example, about the problems facing us. But do we really talk about offer? Do we offer any solutions? And that's a question mark. You know, most of the time, no. So I took some notes. I read that comment. I read a comment on Rumble. I do read the comments. Okay. I really do. And I don't know when that was put on there, but I began thinking about this yesterday anyway, or actually it was earlier in the week I began thinking about this because, you know, we're always constantly hearing about things, but what, you know, but any solutions to these problems? Just asking, want to know? Well, let's see if we can work through a couple. All right. So the notes I took, this is just from my observations in talking with other people that are smarter than I am, really, that really have been around as long as I have, but smarter than me. I appreciate their insight. But right now, let's look at the environment in which we live. And this is, I mean, I want you to walk away from today, tonight, this episode, this segment, whatever you want to call it. I want you to walk away or after you're done listening or watching whatever platform you're using, I want you to think, believe, I want you to feel different. I want you to walk away with saying, man, that was worth listening to. Or worth watching. Because right now we live in an era of rapid information dissemination, right? That we do. And this comes in many forms, whether it's your timeline on social media or regardless of wherever it is. And if it's social media, not only do we have this rapid information dissemination, but we also have the social media influence and the algorithms that push certain narratives and certain things in our direction. And I was thinking about all of this chaos that we see taking place, Portland, Chicago, the greater Chicago, we see in Congress. I mean, my goodness, what a bunch of Muppets they are. We see at the border. We've seen at the border. Now that's died down. And there's, but if one thing dies down, something else pops back up, right? So I was thinking about all of this, the environment in which we live. One of the most effective, one more thing too, before I make this statement. What was one of the biggest, or what is one of the biggest things now? There's a huge narrative out there, that's catching on social media. Some people are paying attention. I got a few phone calls from large media outlets. I did not return. I'm not going to return about, you know, for example, the Butler attempted assassination of President Trump and the murder there, and about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the murder of Charlie Kirk, and the equation about, or the commonality of this, not the LGBTQIA plus whatever agenda, but this furry, you know, these furries, right? The existence of furries and the violence associated ostensibly, allegedly with this, with, or by, at the hands of furries, right? And I got to be thinking about, I got to think about this. In addition to this rapid information, what's the quickest way to cause, what's the quickest way to control you and I, control our behavior? Anyone in the chat in Rumble, do you want to hazard a guess here? I'm going to get to the chat here in Rumble. So what's the, in your estimation, because when you folks have been around, you guys are intelligent. If you're on Rumble, you can put this in the chat. What is the quickest way to control us? Covertly control us, not in your face control, but what's the quickest way that can happen? I'm going to be looking in the chat here right now. Repetition. Yes. I'm looking at kind of a really basic, basic way to control and manipulate people. Chaos. I'll tell you what, chaos. Yes. Yes, anger, you, absolutely. Fear, 100%. Okay, let me tell you what I wrote down here. One of the most effective ways to, and maybe I was thinking about the COVID era. Maybe I was thinking about the, maybe I was thinking about too much about the perverse agenda of the LGBTQI, whatever, and the Obergefell decision, as well as the furries. And that was on my mind because people, but think about this. One of the most effective ways to control and manipulate people is to deliberately create confusion about just the most basic fundamental concepts, right? And you may think you're immune to that. You may think that most rational and sensible people would be immune to that. How can you possibly create confusion over the most basic concepts? Hey, 2 plus 2, that's 4. Male, female. Done and done, right? We don't need 72 genders or 4, or whatever, however many genders there are. Once you deliberately create confusion about the most basic fundamental concepts, such as biology and science, there's a level of control. Okay. And a lot of people will recognize this from the program I did about PSYOPs, about the, how PSYOPs control a person. And the various tenets of the PSYOPs, ATFE, right? Authority figures, for example, you know, repeating things, repetition, repeating things that cause you to question your own beliefs and eyesight and, hey, you know, hey, get the jab. So authorities speaking about things that really cause a cognitive dissonance in your head. And then the tribal or slash group, the acceptance, or the push to acceptance. If you don't accept this concept, then, you know, you're really not fit for society. And then, of course, you have the focus, diversion of focus for the ATF focus. Take what you should be focused on and push it over there. And I'll show you an example too momentarily of that really, I was watching this play out in real time, and I kind of baited this person. But I got to ask that question about why the focus here and not there. Okay, that's not a big win, but it's just a question to illustrate my point. And then, of course, the emotion, which emotion like fear and such, to cause a response. The controllers need to generate a sense of confusion around the concepts of belonging as well, and also create confusion about our own identities. Okay, that's, you know, that the one episode I was talking about, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I really didn't care for that whole concept. I just thought that was just a lot of meh. But when I really looked into it, it's a real thing. So when your identity is challenged by the people who want to control you, there's things you do that you would not ordinarily do. Things you might accept that are really unacceptable that you would ordinarily accept. So that's the controlling part. So we have to recognize, for example, if we want solutions to the problems, we have to recognize the problems, but also recognize who is controlling everything that we're seeing, as well as who is controlling our responses or potential responses, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense? And then I thought about this too. And I did some research. I did some thinking and research. And what's the biggest cause of anxiety today? Because, man, are people, is there anxiety out there, especially over topics like this? There's things happening everywhere. What are we going to do about it? My gosh, we're on the cusp of World War III. How many times have you heard that? We're going to, you know what? We're all going to die. World War III. The market's going to crash. Everything's going to be pulled out. You know, look, maybe, probably a lot of those things do exist, but. Mm-hmm. Are some of them being hyped up, perhaps? Yeah, I think so. Are there real dangers? Absolutely, there are real dangers. Okay, I get that. But control, people who want control over you and have control over you and I, they recognize that the biggest control, biggest cause of anxiety is the lack of a person being able to readily identify or predict their own personal future. So if you sit down tonight and think, okay, I want to plan out, we'll say maybe you're close to retirement. I want to plan out my retirement. Or maybe you're, I don't know, maybe you're considering a move or whatever it might be. The biggest anxiety of most people is not being able to reliably predict our future. We know. But why can't we do that? Because of the anxiety introduced by controllers. The anxiety, like I mentioned, who knows what's going to happen with the market? I don't want to live there. It's near a military base. What happens? Or I don't want to live over. You get the idea, right? So, the biggest cause of much of our fears and anxiety is our problem of being able to see or predict reliably what our future is going to be, and being influenced by people that really don't have influence, but others that do. And that's what we have to address. We have to separate the people who have the influence and the power to change your life, and to have an impact on your life directly today or tomorrow. Or, as opposed to, somebody that really doesn't have any impact, direct impact on your life. For example, the school board and a school teacher, school board in Portland, if you live in Miami or if you live somewhere else, they no impact. So really, that who cares what happens up there, except on a more cohesive national level. But that aside, about your immediate future, about your anxiety, our anxiety, because I get anxious about this too. You know, you think, okay, well, you know, man, I don't want to buy that new car. Or I don't want to buy not new, or I don't want to buy that used car. Or what if, you know, what about insurance, health insurance? You know, and there's so much stuff. So unable to reliably predict what's going to happen or our future within that concept. So we have to identify that. So we can answer all of this, I suppose, by understanding and recognizing and reaffirming and realizing every single day, every time we get up, that the majority of our problems that we're seeing today are in fact deeply rooted in the spiritual realm. Simple as that. Once we understand that, I believe everything will kind of make sense. If we understand that our problems stem from a war that's taking place in the spiritual. And if you don't believe that, I think you're cheating yourself out of some solutions that are available to you personally. And certainly, I don't think the observation of what's going on around you is being viewed through the proper lens. And that's just me. But recognize that. But it's also important as well to recognize the problems right here, right now, with absolute precision, or the best precision, or as close as we can, to recognize, identify the problems that we face, identify them with precision, understand how they developed. How did we get here? Because we, like I've often said, we didn't get here overnight. It happened through a gradual process. So kind of like, and I'm sure many people can relate, we've all had financial problems, right? One night you're sitting at your kitchen table agonizing over, you know, you got a cup of coffee there and you're looking at the bills and you're just thinking, oh man, all these bills, all of the bills. And I'm just trying to bring this to a more relatable position. And how am I going to pay all these bills, right? Well, that didn't happen. You didn't wake up Monday and all of a sudden on Thursday, when you get paid on Friday, you know, Thursday, the problem did not develop between Monday and Thursday. And by the way, if it did, boy, you got more problems than worry about anything else. But it didn't happen within that short time frame. So we have to understand how we got to the position we're in. In all cases, in all components of the chaos. That's what I believe. And that's why it's important to identify and expose certain things. And speaking of exposure, you know, when something is brought into the light and it withers, if you bring something into the sunlight and it really doesn't, it doesn't do well. When you shine a light on something and that something kind of goes away, no, don't shine that. Then you know, it can't be good, whatever that is, right? So exposure is good, but then we look for the solutions. But in looking for the solutions, we have to, again, recognize the problems, and then we have to realize how we're being controlled, as I said, and realize what buttons are being pushed on us, realize what causes us to be anxious and fear and such. And then once we get that, then we can move forward to fix everything. And one last thing that I want to mention about this is, you know, there are people out there, And I'm guilty of this, and I know pretty much everyone else is guilty of this. You know, the comments, and I mentioned this earlier about comments on about videos, comments on the internet, social media, comment, whatever the case might be. Did you ever notice how angrily many people respond to comments, especially ones that call into question? And I'll show you one thing here personally that I really want to show you how this works. Yeah, I mean, at least in my view. And if I explain it well, great. But if you, here's my philosophy on that. If you don't know the person and certainly wouldn't invite a stranger into your house, why are you letting them into your head? Just asking. Everyone right now is looking for leadership. Everyone is looking for direction, and that's kind of this looking for solutions, but we're looking for leadership. We're looking for someone to say, hey, this is what you need to do, or this is what we can do together. But about the exposure and about the things we're seeing right now, here's something else I wrote down. And we seem to be all focused on the symptoms. Man, we talk a lot about symptoms, don't we? But not the actual cause of the symptoms. And isn't that kind of the way we deal with life in general? We'll talk about things. If you've got, boy, I've had a pain in my neck for the last, 4 or 5 days. So you're pumping Advil or you're pumping whatever medication of your choice might be. Well, you're addressing the symptoms, but not the issue. Why do you have pain in your neck? Did you sleep wrong? Did you, hit it? Again, addressing the problem, not the symptoms. And we seem to be focused more on the symptoms these days than the problems. And we try to fix the symptoms when all we do is to exacerbate the problem by attempting to fix the symptom. And the people that, in order for us to respond to, overcome, and navigate through chaos, let me just say this too. We have to remove the chaos from our own lives. Have you thought about that? The people that, look, I do know a couple of people, but they're very rare, that thrive in chaos. You cannot really do well by thriving in chaos. You do yourself and others a disservice by that. So I would look inward at me as well. And I thought about this. Remove the chaos from your lives first before we address the problems elsewhere or around us. You can't tell your child, your grandchild, or anyone around you to clean up their act. And I mean, literally clean up things when you're driving around in a muddy, or with a muddy car, you got a dirty house, your office is just a mess. Maybe that works for you, but in general, not so much. It's a distraction. So, but also with that, you got to take care of your health. All right. It's awful. I mentioned about having a neck ache, right? About that person having a neck ache, treating the symptoms. But also you've got to, take care of your health to avoid having a neck ache or whatever the malady might be or whatever case. So that's starting at home first before you attempt to solve other people's problems. And then again, from my notes, thinking about, okay, what can we do to solve problems? I'm addressing right now things that I am doing in order to be better honed to solve the problems. And I'm just tossing this out for your consideration, but think about how you spend your time, because I thought about how I spend my time. Time management. Time is really an important thing that we have, right? So let's get our houses in order. Again, starting with the chaos and clutter of our own lives, but also how we manage our time. Do we sit there and spend hours upon hours upon hours of scrolling through social media, looking at the headlines? Why? Why do you need this constant 24/7 infusion of information? Or do you collect information, or what do you do with that? Is it going to make a difference to you? Just asking. So avoid being a collector of information, but apply the knowledge you do develop in a productive fashion. Now, look, I'm not some, motivational person. I'm not. I'm anything but that, okay? I'm just a human being. I'm just a person that I've lived a lot, and I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've also forgiven myself for a lot of the mistakes I've made. And that's the other thing, too. There are people out there, and I'm wondering if I'm talking to any one of you. Think about this. A lot of you are suffering. You've got some sort of, I don't know, your things inside. A lot of them, a lot of the feelings you have are self-inflicted. You've got pain, mental pain. Think about that. Think about where your mind is right now. I know it sounds fruity, but think about that. If you've lived your life and you've done things that you're beating yourself up over, you should forgive yourself. If we ask forgiveness for our past actions from God, then, and if we've repented, don't carry that around with you. Because one thing that I've learned is that kind of pain, walking around with that, is not some sort of virtue. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? It's not virtuous to hang on to things that can actually prevent you from living life and getting things done and attacking the problems, the things you see as problems, so we can solve those problems. So walking around with that is not a virtue, or is not virtuous, I should say. So those are the notes I had. And again, so from time management to as trivial as it sounds, you know, the chaos and clutter in our own lives, from all of that to the actual recognition of what the problems really are, as opposed to what the symptoms to the problems really are, and not letting other people control you. Because again, I'll repeat this again, a lot of times, look, you and I react to people, whether it's comments or whatever, emails, it doesn't matter, whatever the case might be, we're reacting to people that, hey, you wouldn't even ask them in your house. So why in the hell are you allowing them in your head, right? So just something to think about. So, okay. So what the hell? We got chaos right now. We got chaos brewing everywhere. So the Epstein files, everyone's all talking. I mean, it's like, isn't this on cue? Pretty much every time. Look, Epstein for crying out loud. So now all of a sudden people are waiting for this great reveal over Epstein. You know, this is another thing too. I've seen a lot of people, they are attracted to the salacious. A lot of times a lot of people are attracted to the salacious. The more salacious, the better. Hey, if we get this guy caught with his pants around his ankles and some underage girl, right, or boy, or whatever the case might be, then boy, we got it. But you can do that. That's fine. But we, not at the expense of maybe a bigger issue. Now, Mike Benz had talked about this. I'm not going to play what he did or play his report, but he went through a very extensive report about Epstein, the files, and what Epstein, the purpose of Epstein. What was he? Why so much money? Well, he was a facilitator of deals. Yeah, he had blackmail stuff. And yeah, he was a pervert, probably. Look, do I know that for a fact? No. I have never seen any evidence, but just from anecdotal evidence, was he a pervert? Probably. Were others involved? Most assuredly. But are we looking at that instead of looking at maybe perhaps a more or equally important, if not more important point, the control factor there? We saw him, and I don't know how many people saw this, delegate as opposed to a U.S. House member from the Virgin Islands, Epstein, texting her while she's questioning the who was it, Cohen? Did you see that, folks? I don't know how many. I don't even know if we have that. I don't know if we have that available. But there's a big to do about that, and of course that subjected her to censure. Censure in the House, but of course that didn't go through. Why? Because of the protection, ostensibly the protection of Corey Mills. Protecting Corey Mills, stolen valor, and according to reports, stolen valor, and some issues with his wife, and perhaps maybe Corey Wells became a Muslim. I don't know. Yeah, okay. So you've got a Congress that refuses to censure this House delegate. What's her name? Help me out here. Oh, come on, people, help me out. Plaskett, help me out. Tell me something. Somebody tell me. Tell me again. I'm having a brain issue. Somebody, come on. No more. What's her name? From the Virgin Islands. The delegate from. Come on. You can do it. Come on. All right. Yeah. But anyway. Look at what's happening, right? There is this total FU to the American people. They hate the rule of law. I mean, they'll impose the rule of law, what they consider the rule of law, upon us, but they themselves don't have to abide by any moral or ethical or even legal groundwork. Again, the House of Representatives and, well, the entire, both chambers. But in this case, you've got the uniparty protecting its own. You have the leftist states. What is it? Stacey Plaskett. Thank you very much. April, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So you got the left, saying you can't censure. You know, if you censure her, then we're going to go after Corey Mills. And, you know, the right and the left make this agreement. We're not going to do it. And bottom line here, it's Burchett came out. Did you see that? Burchett coming out? Did you see what he said? It's look, this isn't a swamp in D.C. It's a doggum sewer. Sewage pit. Sewer. He wasn't wrong. Did you see that? Plaskett, thank you. Yes, again, thank you. Did you see his comments about this? Yeah, Representative Luna, thank you, Trotting Wolf. Luna did call them out. But I look, you know, there's so much controversy about all this. But again, we're looking for solutions, but again, identifying the problems that we have. Do we have, can we put up, let me see, Eric the Tech, if I think I did save some of these files or some of these videos on my X timeline, if you don't mind, could you, I don't want to talk amongst yourselves just momentarily. Because I do, I think this would fit well, fit right into the conversation we're having. And this is Burchett, Tim Burchett. Let me see, maybe I didn't put him in there. Or if I did, it's been quite the long time ago. Or if you can find that video clip about Burchett, that would be great. Tim Burchett, Burchett, I think. Okay. But you don't have to look in there. I'm looking right now. But again, if you folks, if it's been played to death, I don't want to play it and waste your time. But I think it's kind of a good, somber, I don't know what you would call it, a good somber insight into really what we're facing in the totality. Again, as a larger spiritual problem. And I think it's reflective of that. Yeah, don't worry about it. Folks, you can look it up on your own to find it. So this is what we're facing. Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? We cannot certainly, there's things we can't do physically or realistically we can't do, but certainly we can cause to have things done. We also Don't, by the way, do not do this. Do not necessarily throw out the need for exposing everything that we find. Look, we can find things and expose things because, again, I mentioned about sunlight. You know, if something wilts in the sunlight, then, it ain't good. So you keep exposing things and you're doing your part by exposing things. So don't underestimate the power of exposure. But the problem now, here's the thing. The problem we have is we rely upon other people. Once exposed, we rely upon other people to take care of the problem that we identify. And what's the good in that? It's kind of like the congressional hearings. How many congressional hearings do you need on a particular subject before arrests are made? You know, the meme, Chris Farley meme to Pam Bondi, for the love of God, arrest somebody, right? You know, that common meme, you've seen it. Or the scorecard of arrests that goes around on social media. No arrests, really. Or the same old stuff. We have to get beyond that. We have to go far beyond that. And how do we do that? Well, we have to, at least in my view, to continue exposing it, that's fine. But decide at what level is what you're seeing important to you. If you did something about it, would it change your life? Would it make your life better? Something to think about. Would it make the country better? Would it make your walk in faith better? And sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes there's no clear answer. And sometimes, well, maybe not, because perhaps the way to fix it might not be the correct way for things right now. If that does make sense. Look, I'm just trying to get through and really talk from the heart, because how many times are we going to talk about the Epstein files? How many times are we going to talk about the corruption that's going on? How many times are we going to talk about the waste? How many times are we going to talk about Antifa? And the border problems or the riots at these places, at the Broadview and in Portland. How many times are we going to bitch about the people that are in power in Chicago? Hey, look, I live in Pennsylvania. Chicago, you want to crap all over your city? Have at it, right? Except it's not just a problem there. I mean, The chaos is there, but the problem is extensive. But okay, you want to riot in the streets and do nothing about it? Have them riot, allow them to riot in the streets? It's not here, right? Now, that might seem like a flippant thing to say, and I kind of agree. That does sound flippant, but again, is that unless you're living there, is that impacting what you do on a day-to-day basis? So you have to kind of triage the problems that face us. And assign values in your head to, okay, what can I do? So I found this. Look, we can all do something. Let's start at the easiest part. And I was so excited. I was so happy to see this. This is a 2-minute video. This is somebody serving notice. I'm not going to explain this before I play it. But watch this. This is a video one in the show notes. Watch this. It's just over 2 minutes. But this is something we can all do. Now, I hope we never have to do this. Or we can certainly do this preemptively. But this is something every one of us can do. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. I don't care. You can do this. Any one of us can do this. Watch this. Video one.
I'm here to provide notice. This is in accordance with USCIS Rules of Civil Procedure, as well as Rule 17 and Rule 20 from the United States Supreme Court. This sweet baby, Rochelle, she was born on September 15th, 2022. How much does this baby cost? Well, I can tell you how much this baby cost. This baby cost whatever these adoptive parents are willing to pay for her, and however much the state was incentivized to take this child from these loving, fit, healthy parents and put them with these adoptive parents. That's how much that baby was worth. Title 4D, Title 4E, and Title 4B, as you all know, incentivizes the state, incentivizes this county to remove children unlawfully from loving, fit, healthy parents. Unfortunately, this is happening at scale across the country, but it's happening at scale in this county. This woman had her baby removed in the same manner within a month. No drugs, no history of alcohol, no abuse, no nothing. This parent, same exact issue. No drugs, no alcohol, no history of abuse. These stories are not an exception. It's a pattern, and it is absolutely created by the incentives of Title IV-D funding through this state. Now, I have in my possession what is called prima facie evidence, and these are prima facie evidence in the form of affidavits. This is 28 U.S.C. 1746. I will serve each of you today with this prima facie evidence that these judges in this county are committing crimes, felony crimes, against these children. And it's a felony because under Title 18, U.S.C. 242, deprivation of rights has occurred in these cases. Judge Williams needs to be removed from office tomorrow. And if you continue to pay him, it's an emolument violation. If you continue to fund that facility, it is an emolument violation. It is a crime, and it is illegal. So I'm dropping service, each of you. You've now been made aware. Misprison of felony will now be on your hands. It is up to you to report these crimes, these prima facie evidence of crimes, to the FBI and to the appropriate agency. We cannot continue to let this go.
Thank you for your comment.
Okay, now you just saw what I saw. How many problems is that woman addressing there? As I say, at least three problems. You've got the obvious issue of child protective services, or whatever they may call that in your state. She's addressing that issue, the core issue. She's calling out this lawless application of state statute, basically. And she's putting people on notice, legal notice. We're not going to accept that. We're not going to accept what you are doing. And you might think this, well, that's nice. It's not going to go anywhere. That's nice. Well, you're calling attention to a problem. And the problem also addresses or touches on what? Child trafficking, doesn't it? So you're helping the movement to combat child trafficking. Even if it's not applicable in that case, it will be to another case. Again, I'm responding to people who say, all you do is friggin' talk about the problems, but you offer no solutions. People are looking for leadership. And you know, we've got that capability to be leaders. You do, I do, we all do. And I'm not talking about sitting behind a friggin' microphone and pretending that you're important. No. Shit. No, what I'm talking about is taking action in your own backyard and handling it like this woman did. Hey, this is a problem. These women here have this problem, have been victimized by Child Protective Services. And again, read the case, or I'll put it in the show notes at Hagman PI. So you can do this. And in some cases, you're not going to get justice, but in all cases, the process can become the punishment. It shouldn't be that way, but they've weaponized the judicial system to the point where the process has become the punishment. Just ask Navarro and Bannon and Stone and everyone, just and us. Believe me, can't talk about it, but I'll tell you, the process is the punishment. You live through that. So you can do that. So you're addressing the CPS problem. You're, by extension, the larger problem of what's happening to our children. And then also you're bringing to light and addressing judicial tyranny and overreach. So you're hitting a couple of, you're doing something. You're actually doing something to expose and to handle those three problems, or portions of each, right? There you go. Now, you don't need me or anyone else's hand to do that. We can do that independently of one another, together, if there is an issue. Certainly we can get together and, as a group, maybe figure it out. And let's do this. But you're not going to change the complexion of the Supreme Court by yourself, unless, well, let's play that link I sent, if you don't mind, Eric the Tech. I sent this link I don't know why. I thought this applied maybe. Maybe it's a mental thing. This is humorous. Don't get all... This is humorous, okay? I have to find the clip, too, from Boston Legal. Denny Crane getting mugged, okay? In fact, I'm going to do that, but this is a real short thing. But this has some applicability here to the topics I'm talking about. Maybe on both sides, shall we say, you know, watch it and chuckle and then think about it. Let it brew up there in your mind. Go ahead and play that link.
You think you have a constitutional right to conceal a weapon without a carry permit?
I have a right to keep a gun at home. The court says so.
You were on the street.
A man's home is where his heart is. In my case, the penis.
Do you have any idea how many people die from gun violence in this country?
Yeah. Let's make a law. No carrying guns. I'm sure the criminals will obey it.
Show me where in the Constitution it says you can walk the streets armed without a carry permit.
The Constitution says whatever the Supreme Court says it says. As for what the Supreme Court says, that all depends on who's president.
Move the strike.
You don't have to be a legal genius to know that if you've got a president in office who likes guns, and a vice president who likes to hunt lawyers and quail, and a Supreme Court justice who hunts with him, you're going to have a constitutional right to shoot bad guys in the knee.
And folks, you might remember that was the fallout. That scene was the fallout from his encounter with the muggers. I'm just trying to find that clip about the muggers. Yeah, here it is right here. Eric, let me see here. Eric Tech, I'm sending this to you right now. I think this is worthy of a play. Look, worthy to play because think about this. And I really want everyone to think about this. While this is a humorous minute and 20 seconds, minute and 20 seconds, while this is humorous, I want to be very judicious about my words here. Think about what you're seeing today. Think about the assaults that are taking place all across the country. Think about the killings. Think about the robberies, armed robberies. Think about what you could possibly do to prevent violence upon yourself or perhaps Good Samaritan help someone else. Think about that. And that applies, Eric, the tech, that applies to the link too here. And these won't be in the show notes because you can find them out there in the wild. But again, this, just as the first video I showed, addresses like three big issues, CPS, and then, four when you consider the oversight of the your own local city, municipal, county, whatever board that you're going in front of, whatever board members you're holding to account. So you're addressing several issues at the same time with one single act, something we all can do. Okay. Now extend that thinking to, and as crazy as this might be, extend that thinking to this. And all I'm doing is trying to get everyone to think. I'm not saying this is what it should be. Just think, okay? Sit alone. Make sure you're read up on your Bible. Make sure you understand the Constitution, your laws. Make sure you understand how badly those laws were perverted. You kind of refer back to that first Boston Legal clip. Yeah, the Constitution was whatever the Supreme Court says it is. Think about that, because do we really have any control? Again, at that level, we don't. But what we do have is control within our own sphere, right? And I'm not telling you to go out and shoot people. That's not what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you that things kind of like... I saw something. Oh, it was a posting on X. And it was somebody came up. It was about a homosexual parking space, right? where it was a joke where somebody put up a sign or somebody pulled in the parking space, an older man pulled in the parking space, and someone came up and said, look, this parking space is reserved for homosexuals. I don't know whether it's on my Twitter or X feed. And I laughed. Everyone was laughing about this because the guy was like, oh, I didn't realize that. And then, you know, he did his best to be accommodating, right? I mean, he's just a great guy. But I laughed too. I laughed when I saw that. But I thought about this for a moment. And that's the problem. You know, we'll laugh superficially. We'll laugh without really thinking about the deeper issue at hand. So I laughed. And then I wrote, so I copied that and wrote, you know, I laughed at first too. I laughed. I thought it was funny too. And then I thought about it a little bit more. And if that had been me, that would have been a different category of video, okay? Now, I'm not saying I'd be violent, but I certainly would not subjugate to some idiotic homosexual parking space BS, right? No, that ain't happening. It's all in what we hear. And see, again, looking at that also controls, the posters and the narratives behind that control how we look at a subject. Again, I'm just trying to get you to think deeper. Not that inch deep and a mile wide stuff. No. Think deeper. Don't look at the symptoms. Look at the cause of the problems that result in the symptoms. We can get a lot more done if we do that. But about that Denny Crane clip, I would be remiss if I didn't show you the cause of his sitting before that judge. Who is that judge? What was that guy's name? It doesn't matter. But you go ahead and play Link 2 there, Eric the Tech.
Question to you. Do you really want?
Yes, I do.
Because being a partner in a law firm isn't all it's cracked up to be.
But the money's good, right?
Who are you?
Oh, I'm part of the Neighborhood Crime Watch. The way this works is you watch, I commit the crime.
Oh, my God. Now.
No. There's no talking. You just give me your watch and wallet now.
Here's my problem. You're black.
Mr. Crane!
What?
I'm Denny Crane. I'm a big shot.
So am I.
If you kill me, the headline's gonna be, Black Guy Kills White Big Shot.
And that's the last thing we need when we're trying to elect an African-American as president.
Dear God! How about if I just blow your brains out right now?
That doesn't work for me. Work for you?
Kitty, please.
Hey.
All right. Watch. Wallet. Gun. Knee. Right foot. Left foot. Thank God for guns, huh, Jerry? Only in America. Sweet land of liberty, violence.
Now, okay, I played that the first time, I don't know, probably a year or more ago, right? I don't know how many people saw that when I initially played it back way back when. But think about that now in the context of what we're seeing play out today. And I'm not trying to be funny about this or humorous about this. Just want you, obviously that's ridiculous on its face, right? But there's a message there, I believe. Do we have the power within ourselves to stop violence upon us or maybe someone next to us? We do have that power if you live in an area that permits you that power. About that, let me just say something about that. If I live in a restricted area and I am going into a situation I'm not sure of, or in a wherever where I, you know, there could be threats from who knows what, but I'm not permitted by law to carry a concealed weapon. Here's my philosophy on that. And maybe this is reckless. Maybe this, maybe this isn't for you. But I would rather be judged by 12 and then carried by 6. I'm going out that way. Now, you do you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you how I feel. But thankfully, I live in an area right now, currently in a state where I can conceal carry. Austin coming up, dude, same thing. When we do, I do. And I'll tell you something else. I have it within my power to protect me, those with me, my family, or anyone around me that's being harmed. Do you do that? Now I'm talking in the legal sense here. If you are legally able to and physically capable and certainly mentally able to carry a weapon, do you? If you live in an area where you can carry a weapon and you're physically capable and you are mentally, there's nothing wrong with you mentally, and you at least you have a basic knowledge and understanding of the weapon you're carrying, and hopefully you've gone and practiced with it, yet you are typing, you offer, all you do is talk about problems but don't offer any friggin' solutions, you idiot. And if you're not carrying, don't type that to me. Do not type that to me. Because really? You're not willing? You are not willing? But you're capable. Let's just say you have the money, you have the weapon, you have the physical, mental ability to carry a weapon. It's legal where you're at, but you don't. But you're bitching about now, there's no solutions. Do you see where I'm at with this? Look, I know that stretches credulity, and I know that Boston legal thing. Look, but there's a point there. And also the point about getting up and that first link the first video I had played with him on the stand and the crazy answers, right? But they also prove a point, I think. You folks tracking with me? Am I hitting anything? Am I hitting the right notes here? Am I making sense? Or does it sound like all you're hearing is just blah, 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 blah? I'm just saying. Austin Brewer's coming up at the top of the hour. And you know, look, I really like the talking about this because we do have to work together. We do have to fight things. Oh, and one more thing. Again, let's start at home. Let's start with ourselves. How many people right now, this is cut two. It's only 2 minutes. Folks, we don't have to feed the beast, right? We do not have to feed the beast. We don't have to purchase vehicles that drive themselves or can be overtaken, hijacked. They were spy on us. We don't have to comply with any of that. Yes, they are making it difficult, for example, to get cars from the, you know, 90s, right? Because now they're classics. My God, what a time fly. But now they're classics. But, you know, in my view, here's my view of things. If you buy a car and it's more intelligent than you or has the capabilities of driving on its own, or if it's trackable, then you shouldn't be driving that car. And if you are driving that car, why? Why? And if you're driving in the car and saying, you know what? Screw it. Nobody's offering any solutions. You see where I'm coming from? Have you taken inventory? And I know this is hard. Look, understand what I'm saying. I'm not blaming any, but look at what's going on here. And I think I had to have this conversation, or I didn't have to. I had this conversation with a friend of mine. And yeah, shockingly, I do have friends. Not many, but I got them. I said, you know, And this was within the last week, and I was thinking about addressing this in addition to that comment I got. But even before that, I was thinking about addressing this issue about solutions, because again, it's no good if we don't offer solutions, and we have to identify the things that we can change. And yeah, we can still continue to expose the things we can't, but don't bitch about stuff and voluntarily comply with stuff. It's bullshit. It's baloney. Sorry about that. Here's cut two, and this is something we all can not do. But I wonder how many people have this and things like this, whether it's a car, a smart meter. You got a smart meter? Get it the hell off your house. It might cost an extra $5. Get it off your house. And then, bitch, you got a smart thermostat. Oh, how convenient is that? I can make sure it's at 73.5 degrees when I get home. Watch this. This is cut two.
You watch your TV, but with this hack, your TV can watch you. Show us how that works.
So one of the things that we were able to do with the smart TV platform was actually abuse the browser to the extent that we could actually gain access to the camera that's built into the TV.
Right.
And so what we can prove here is that with a little bit of extra code, we can turn the camera on in your browser.
Wow.
And while this is evident to you right here because we've designed it that way, this is something that we can do invisibly and actually have the camera running behind the web page that you're looking at.
So what this means is I could be sitting here watching TV from my bedroom, and you could be anywhere in the world looking at this image of me watching.
Yep, I could be sitting on a laptop in a cafe in Paris, and as long as I have a network connection, I'd be able to get into your TV and access the camera.
The kind of scary things about it is that it doesn't actually give any indication that the camera's on, and there is no little LED that shows up when the camera's on. So it could actually be watching you and you'd never even know.
What is a smart TV, and why is it a playground essentially for hackers?
Right, it's a computer. So instead of just being, you know, a tube and some other electronics, now it has a web browser, and it has, you know, a lot of devices are running Linux.
But the real danger is when people start using smart TVs for things like online banking, we can take a popular bank address and translate that into a different IP address.
You get the idea, right, folks? And you can watch it. I'll put the link at hackmapi.com. And the other thing, too, about the bank thing, you know, we do all of our banking in person. We don't, you do online banking, screw that. All right. I'm not going to expose all of that. And that's just, again, change what you can change first. Get your house in order first. Realize, of course, this is a spiritual battle at heart. And if you don't accept that, you're never going to fix anything. Ever. Because you're going to succumb to the comforts and all of that long before you'll ever understand that you're building or you're consenting to the engineering of your own prison, your own enslavement, and ultimately your own death. One last thing before I bring Austin on. I didn't put this as a link, Eric the Tech. Can you pop up my latest X post on X? And by the way, I am on X, Hagman. I don't even know what I am. Hagman Report, at Hagman Report. Yeah. All right. Can you pull that up? And in fact, I mean, Austin can comment on this, but this, and by the way, folks, as I mentioned earlier, part of taking care of your own house and part of being up for the battle is to make sure you're not going to be any good to anybody if you are sluggish or if you're tired all the time get your physical self in shape to the extent you can. Okay. Simple as that. I learned that the hard way. I mean, the hard way. Yeah, you know, you smoke, you drink. I mean, not to excess. you eat pizza, you slam down Mountain Dews because you're hunched over in a surveillance van for 10 hours a day or 12 hour shifts. And it's going to catch up with you. So if you're young, change while you can. And if you're older and you have to treat the symptoms, well, do what you got to do. And part of that is supplementing your nutrition. And I'm telling you right now, it's important because you can change things. It's hard to hear the doctor saying, you know, ma'am, how long do I got? But the doctors don't like to say how long you've got. They really run from that question. But when you push them and push them, given if you don't make any changes, yeah, you know what? About a year. I'm going to tell you what, that totally adjusts your entire attitude when you, and then all of a sudden your time management becomes a little bit, a little bit more tight. And then the prioritization of things that are really important to you become a lot clearer. And also looking for solutions becomes a lot clearer too, especially through the lens of the spiritual battle, okay, that we fight. So you've got to take care of the inner, which you can take care of first, triage everything, and then build from there, attack problems from there. And I gave you a couple of examples, I'd hopefully more, but it's a complete change, I think. Let's adjust our perception. But in this case here, I want to show you something about it's something you can do, I guess. There's something that I did. All right. And I posted this morning, I think it was. And this is in reference to an investigation I did in 2020. This was in response to did you see the big bust in Colorado? The 17, I don't know, just a crap ton of fentanyl. I mean, it was incredible. Oh my gosh, big bust. Fentanyl piled up everywhere in the storage shed. Did you see that? Huge bust. So I addressed this problem beginning in 2020. Actually late 2019, early 2020. I watched, in the case I was at, real quick, I watched a cop open up a laptop and the top, and I didn't explain this, okay? I didn't think I needed to, but between the top of the laptop and the keyboard was a plastic bag. It was horrible. There was powder residue all over the insides of the laptop, and the cop opened it, and he was, I don't know, 3-4 feet from me. It's kind of downwind, but man, he got like woozy and holy crap when he opened it because of the aerosolization of, well, what was on it? Fentanyl, among other drugs. Again, I didn't think I needed to explain this. All right, fine. So here's what I did. And this will wrap up my presentation. So here's what I did. Obviously the laptop was in the possession of a known drug user. So the bottom line was I had done an investigation of my own. I followed the evidence to trace and confirm the IDs of local users, small time dealers, which was pretty easy. Then I moved to identify the mid-level drug users, not quite as easy. And then I backtraced the routes of travel to the area of entry of the drug, of the, where it entered the U.S. That was pretty hard to do. And then to the actual point of entry. So I got an area and then the point of entry, which was a ball buster. I'm going to tell you that right now. And even worse was the smuggler's ID. I mean, within a reasonable certainty of a dozen individuals, but they all happened to be members of a cartel. My findings, the drug, and there are markers in the drugs, but folks, I won't get into it, but there are markers in the drugs that identify where it came from. You'd be surprised. A lot of it comes from the CIA. But anyway, just remember that real quick. But anyway, so I had the proof. I had documentation. I had everything together. I mean, I had, to me, I had a solid case. But I was asking questions, you know, like, how did this batch, for example, fentanyl, how did it make it from the point of entry from Mexico into the U.S. and across the U.S. without any detection or hindrance? Here's what I found. The travel of drugs had help by elected officials, initially from the border town, and also a few others inside the U.S. Really simple. So I turned over everything over to the feds because the local PD weren't responsive. So I said, look, it's kind of not, we don't have the resources outside of our jurisdiction that prompted the investigation. I turned everything over to the feds. With the proper chain of custody, I know how to do this. It was preserved, but the result, nothing. Nothing was done, and more people died. And I'm haunted by this, and I'm angry. I'm angry as hell. See, this was a problem. I decided to try to solve this problem. I feel I did, but no one lifted a friggin' finger. Fentanyl, those people who describe, you know, these deaths as overdoses from fentanyl. No, fentanyl, it's not. It's poisoning. It's murder. Fentanyl is a weapon of mass destruction. People that were poisoned for profit. These are not drug overdoses. That's bullshit. Don't ever say that. These people were poisoned by a weapon of mass destruction. These are homicides. Real quick, some of the replies, okay? Okay. Got one in there from a guy by the name, but look, I don't know who these people are. But I want to respond to this because I want to talk about this tonight in this fashion. Okay, like I said, if you don't know who they are, you wouldn't let them into your house, so don't let them in your head. But I prove my point. This guy writes, well, you know, it's so weird that someone could swoon from an environmental exposure to a drug that's only dangerous when it's in your bloodstream. Well, no shit, Sherlock. These exaggerations don't help anyone. And it goes on and on. Well, that one, did he edit that? I don't know. I write, obviously a Google AI expert with no field experience. You don't understand that fentanyl is used as a cheap cutting agent mixed with other drugs. Stay in your own lane. But the debate went on. So here's why I say that. In addition to, hey, did I really have to respond to that? Well, I did. But here's the problem. Why the fixation on that one incident or that one aspect of this, when in fact the larger issue is not even discussed? You see the deflection. Watch for that. That's all I'm saying. As I said before, your physical health is important. Healthmasters.com. I apologize for going over. Austin, thank you for, God bless you. Thank you for your time waiting here. You can take the full hour, a full hour. It's up to you, brother. I know you're probably tired. I hope you traveled or hope your travels were worth it and well. And I hope everything's good on your end. Austin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug. Pleasure to be on the show as always. And yeah, I'm always traveling. I'm doing something, but I'm also making sure I do everything I can to keep the truth out there. And I've been listening to the show for quite a bit with you here for the last like 20, 30 minutes. And I think one aspect of, you know, fentanyl and all these other topics that keep brought in with the drugs is that, you know, it's always, like you said, it's always a deflection. It's always something that they use is to keep people, you know, focused on this or that. And the truth about it is we know in some cases, in a lot of cases, you know, agencies that are involved with this, you know, black ops, they're involved with the ones that are actually bringing in the drugs. That's why this entire context that they're saying, you know, they're doing these drone strikes and air strikes on these boats that are coming out of Venezuela. You know, we got a couple other, you know, drug dealers that are running boats to Miami. The thing about this is it's a very weird context that they're starting to put this out there, and a very weird, you know, how should you say, when it's setting a precedent, you know, when they're doing airstrikes on boats out in the open water. And Venezuela doesn't have any fentanyl as far as manufacturing sites that I know of. Majority of all stuff comes in from China, and a lot of it comes in from Mexico. But at the end of the day, this stuff is causing a problem. It's causing a severe issue. And I know that's one of the reasons why ICE and these other groups that are involved with DHS are trying to get a lot of these guys out, because this has been extensive as far as the United States over the last couple of years under the Biden administration on how many individuals from the entire world have been brought in, funded, paid, taken care of, and it expands on a level that I think most people aren't even aware of. And we're seeing it more and more down here in Florida, all these subdivisions, these groups, these areas that are extensively pretty much non-American with gigantic subdivisions that are brought in. It's funded by BlackRock, and people are moving in there and nobody knows where they come from. Nobody knows how they make any money. Nobody goes anywhere the entire day. There's four or five people living in these houses and nobody can figure out how they bought a $500,000-$700,000 house, and nobody ever goes to work and nobody ever talks to anyone. And so I think the entire aspect of, you know, as far as drug trafficking, it's so deep on so many areas and it does need to be addressed. And I think this is something that, you know, we're starting to see more and more of the more we dig into this now. And it's strange because you also see all these different aspects of trying to keep people distracted with the mainstream media, with all these different social media posts and all these different topics where they don't want anybody to talk about certain things or bring up anything. And our health is one of our most valuable assets. And that's something that you don't ever hear the mainstream media talk about, period. You know, RFK Jr. just came out and he said they're going into a detailed investigation on why so many food allergies, as far as individuals with food allergies, are exploding at an exponential level. We've never seen this before in history. And a lot of it, he said, most of it is being caused by the insane amount of aluminum in these vaccines that these children are getting dose after dose, month after month, and it continues to build up in their body. Aluminum is a known neurotoxin. We know that, especially when it builds up in the body. They've done certain tests where they say, well, if you ingest or eat a certain amount of aluminum, it's processed, it's not that toxic. There's never been any long-term studies whatsoever of injecting this amount of aluminum as far as into the muscle tissue over and over and over and over again into developing children, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, and it building up in the body. We know aluminum can get through the blood-brain barrier. We know it's an insane neurotoxin as far as when it builds up in levels. We know it's directly linked to Alzheimer's now, dementia, but yet nobody will address it in the medical community that this is used as the primary adjuvant to stimulate an immune response in the body in these vaccines. And we give these shots to kids so fast, so quick, at such a young age that don't have any aspect of a developed immune system. And then we go, I don't know why the CDC says autism rates at 1 out of 32, and the actual real number with boys, it's 1 out of 12.5 now, and it's growing so quickly. And yet so many people still want to put their head in the sand. And this is why I've told so many families, so many parents, so many grandparents, please get directly involved in these topics. Have open discussions with them. They're not taboo. They're not forbidden. They're not verboten in German. You can talk about them. We can have an open discussion on why the autism rate is exploding exponentially and nobody wants to figure out why it's happening. If you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and get the same results, and you don't think anything of it, that's pretty much insanity, as Einstein used to say. So why in the world are we not taking a step back and saying, maybe we don't need to inject these kids with all these shots? Maybe it is causing massive inflammation in the brain. Maybe it is directly linked to all these enormous health problems. There was one study that came out in 2017 based on a survey from mothers of homeschooled children published in 2017, found that vaccinated children were significantly more likely to have allergies than unvaccinated children. And they've started to repeat these studies over and over again, but yet it gets completely and totally buried by the mainstream media. They won't discuss it. Majority of social media platforms won't allow it up. They ban you on it. They shut you down. They tell you it's fake news. They tell you, you know, the moderators have, you know, gone, our third party moderators, we've deemed this fake news. And the reality is, it's not fake news. It's a serious problem that's happening. You know, over the last weekend, I was in Orlando and I was talking to a couple that was there, and they were basically, they didn't have any kids yet, and they brought up a bunch of questions to me. So I told them what I did, and they were very open and awake, and they said a lot of that happened after COVID. They started questioning everything, what the government was doing, why they were pushing these shots so hard, why these topics are not able to be talked about. And I said, because the pharmaceutical industrial complex makes tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars, actually, from most of these shots. And then it keeps the children sicker and sicker and sicker. This is why you start seeing children, as soon as they get their vaccination schedule, especially the 6 month schedule, they start having issues with adenoids, tonsils. They have to start having tubes in the ears, and it's repetitive. And then they put them on antibiotics, and they want to remove their adenoids, and they want to remove their tonsils, and it becomes a systemic, just cash flowing machine. And by the time these kids are teenagers, they're having all these health problems. And again, I like to bring it up, I like to discuss it, not because I want to like you know, be mean to anybody or try to make any put anybody on the spot. I want people to discuss these topics because here in a republic, in a constitutional republic in the United States, we should have the ability to question everything the government does, everything the medical community does, everything that happens. You have a right to discuss it. Then they can defend it. We can defend our side. They can defend their side. But this context of what's been happening now where social media and mainstream media and all these platforms say you can't talk about it, it's that topic that doesn't get discussed. I'm over it. That's why I've been bringing so many of these topics up for years now. And I've got a lot of blowback, a lot of flack from them. And I don't care because everybody's got their own opinion. But if you're going to have an opinion, have an educated opinion that's backed by some aspect of knowledge and not just what you're parroting from CNN or some of the other clowns that are getting 60% of the revenue from Big Pharma. I have no bone to pick in this. I want people to be healthy. I want people to be strong. I want America to be patriots. I want everybody to be able to stand up and say, you know what? I don't like this. I'm not okay with this. I'm going to protest about this right now, and I'm going to either vote my dollar, like you said earlier on the topic. I'm not going to buy from Amazon because, quite frankly, supplements from Amazon don't have any basis of quality control whatsoever. People from all over the world now can buy anything they want, sell anything they want, fake labels, fake products. Amazon's already had this happen with multiple companies that have done an expose on this, that they sell their brand and suddenly they buy these products that are insanely cheap with their brand label. They get them, they check them. They're fake. They're not even from there. The product isn't even, it's most of it's from China. And so if you want to have good health, you want to continue to make your body go strong, and you want to make sure you're getting the right products, get them from a reputable source. That's what we do at Health Masters. I encourage everybody to check the products out. If you like them, support us. If you don't, that's okay. But compare them to what other stuff is on the market. And I promise you, in most cases, ours will be hand down some of the highest stuff you can possibly get a hold of. And I try to keep my prices as good as possible.
If I can add to that.
Yeah.
So when
I came out of the gate hot.
No, I'm glad you did. And thank you. And again, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were there for that long. Okay. I thought you popped on it. Anyway, so when I was faced with having to deal with the issues I'm dealing with, yep. I had a certain look, if I told you who the two or three companies who are really promoting, you know, the anti-jab, pro health, anti-spike protein stuff, right? I had unsolicited people, two or three, come to me and offer me, you know, please take a look at these supplements, right? And compared to yours, here's the bottom line, without a lot of crap, compared to yours, your product was far superior in terms of the efficacy or the, what would you call it? I don't want to say dosage, but the product that's inside, the delivery, the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the efficacy, the clinical relevancy, the aspect of the ingredients, what we're using, the dosages, almost everything I make, I break down the ingredients to the base. So you can see what we're running. I try never to hide behind proprietary blends. I think there's only one or two products I've ever done that with. And that was primarily because I was getting the blend from a manufacturer and they didn't want to disclose either. So they'd have, you know, 10 different ingredients. This is the milligram dosage is in this whole proprietary blend, but I never liked it. I hated it. A lot of times I would have to see the dosage on basically something I'd have to do a non-disclosure on. So I'd say I want a third-party assay. I want to see what's actually in this because 90%+ of those proprietary blends that you see that are on the market on Amazon, they look good. There's some great sounding ingredients. You see, look, you're like, oh man, it's got resveratrol and it's got CoQ10. But there's never any clarification of what the dosage is in them. It's just 2,000 milligrams. A whole list of products. All the product has to do is show some type of basically just a semblance of that ingredient, and it's good. They can get away with it. It doesn't matter what the actual dosage is in it. So, yeah.
Despite the fact that you had educated us, me in the audience on that, you know, that really didn't stick with me. And that's why I favor repeating myself, folks. Not necessarily repeating, but providing the similar information and building upon that. So initially that didn't, I guess I just really didn't understand or really embrace that concept. Now I do. And I'll tell you something else. The results, the folks that you're going to find, it's measurable in your blood tests. Okay. Again.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just saying, telling it how it is, man. So I would stack the Health Masters supplements over any other names that are on the conservative side. Yeah, they are. And I'll tell you what, they sound good. But when it comes down to it, your products are a lot better, and they hit, I mean, super. Okay. So that's number one. The second thing is, you know, Obamacare, that Affordable Care Act, it's unaffordable. Yeah. People's health premiums are going to go up. Bottom line, folks, it's a hell of a lot easier. And this is not a trivial sound bite stuff, because I hate those. But the bottom line is, you know what? Hey, if you can't afford insurance, you might be able to do you better have the insurance of good health, or at least of taking the supplements, so you are addressing not the symptoms but the problems. And that's where Health Masters come in. Healthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com. There it is. And also, while you're shopping there, listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. It's all available through the website. Go ahead, Austin. I not that you need validation, but sometimes people look, I got a story to tell, and I'm still working through that story, but I'll tell you something. Your stuff is remarkably and significantly higher quality than others. So end of story.
Thank you, Doug. And I mean, that's because I take my own stuff. My kids take the stuff. Everybody I know takes it. And, you know, like you just said earlier, a lot of times a supplementation, you don't have a deficiency in certain, you know, drugs in most cases. Now, I'm not knocking all drugs. Some drugs can be something that need to be taken in a certain situation. I'm not knocking everything. What I am saying is, the vast majority of time now, the profitability from the pharmaceutical companies and these doctors that are involved in them, that's their primary concern. They're not concerned with the long-term effects from these drugs. They're not concerned about the black box warnings. They're not concerned what other people are starting to see on a continual basis, especially when they start stacking multiple drugs back to back to back on top of one another. You know, there's a large study of more than 13,000 people. I covered this on the show the other day. They found a strong connection between magnesium levels and depression. And I posted on the website, and it's a meta-analysis and nutrition reviews involving all these individuals. And they look at them, they test their magnesium depletion score, basically how much magnesium they're intaking and their overall magnesium levels, and they found almost every time somebody was suffering from depression, they usually were having some type of magnesium deficiency. And that's why the magnesium brain food is such a popular product. That's even why the Ultimate Multiple we have on sale right now for product of the week is such a popular product. It's got a small amount of magnesium, but it's also got a full spectrum B complex, other vitamins and minerals all combined. You start stacking that with magnesium and just a few other small products, like in the, you know, immune kit or the basic healthy lifestyle kit, you'll start seeing results. So again, that's one of the bases that I want to encourage people. I don't want to spend all the time on supplements tonight. I got a lot of other topics to cover.
I know, but I'll tell you what, that's important. I got to tell you, folks, and well, I'll tell you what, you can, I don't know if you have seen the orders, but I ordered this week, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Because I do put my dollar where my mouth is. And so I'm not blowing smoke up anyone's skirt. The bottom line is the ultimate multiple. Thank goodness. I love it being on sale. It was great this week. As well as the other products. So folks, please take advantage of this. Look, I really appreciate, I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate the positive impact that they've had on my quality of life personally and others. And your articles too. I forwarded that magnesium article to a couple of people who are having issues with memory. So thank you for the research, but also thank you for the products, folks. Healthmasters.com, yes. Team Healthmasters. Link in the program description box. There you go. All right. I'm going to shut up and let you address the topics.
It's just a touch base that you cover that on there. Also, too, we have the DH5 that's active early for the basically it's like pre-Black Friday sale with DH5 active on it. And there'll be a few other things that we're going to be sending out emails on over the coming weeks and next couple days. That's why I encourage everybody to sign up for the weekly newsletter. And the same thing as far as signing up for all the information that you have, you know, everybody is starting to take more and more information and they're starting to expand on it now. I think more people are starting to wake up. More people are starting to realize that we've been lied to and a whole host of other things that are happening. And so when you have shows like yours and stuff and ours, I really encourage people, if you agree with it, if you like it, even if you're not, you don't agree with everything, if the content is something you really, you know, you appreciate, support the companies, get it out there, because there's so much crap out there now that's constantly sucking dollars out of everyone. You know, oh, so these guys, I got $12 at Netflix and I got $10 on this and I spend Starbucks at this. What are those companies doing for you other than either poisoning your brain or your body? Let's be real. What are they doing for you? Most of them are doing nothing. And, you know, it's funny to me that a lot of times the alt media companies, the nutrition companies that are giving you probably some of the best information, the best products, are at the bottom of the list on people's primary support agenda. They want to support all their little things that keep their dopamine triggers high and keep them distracted. And I'm not picking on anybody, but I've heard it and seen it now for years. And I'm going, you know, you could go buy. I mean, I've talked to people now that say, well, I'm on a budget right now, you know, but I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my Amazon budget because I have auto ship with them. That I spend all my money basically every month on all the stuff I need for my house. So it ships right to my door. I got it from a budgetary standpoint, if that's how you're going to justify it. But in most cases, you could get primarily everything you need at certain places without having to support the largest global retail monopoly in the entire world. That's pretty much ruining the entire world. It really is, especially the United States. They're laying off people by the tens of thousands. They're implementing AI and robotics at a level that's unprecedented by any other company. They work directly with the deep state. They carry the servers for the CIA, for my goodness. And then everybody goes, oh, well, you know, I found this product on Amazon, you know, a dollar cheaper than your site. So I bought it from them.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Like, I'm not going to argue with you.
That's, Yes, 100%. But folks, again, the larger issue of navigating, you know, the problems and the solutions, how we can make a difference, that's a big thing. And awareness, yes, awareness of the problem is one thing, but don't become information collectors where you do nothing but collect information, but don't do anything. And most assuredly, or most certainly, please, you know, do make sure you, your health, as well as the health of your family, is supported by quality supplements, because we're not getting it through the diet. And that's the last thing I'm going to say. So thank you again. Thank you. DH5. How great is that? 5% off non-saleable items. Look, just use DH5 at checkout. Healthmasters.com. Go ahead, Austin. To you.
Now, there was one thing I saw earlier. Now they're saying that Three Mile Island nuclear plant has now got $100 billion loan to reboot. This is a completely different subject. This is I'm a horrible segue. I was going to ask you about that. As far as they're saying now, they're pretty much having in Pennsylvania, they're having to pull this nuclear plant back online, Constellation's restart, to provide affordable, reliable, and secure energy. But from what I'm reading, the primary reason why they're doing this is to pretty much make sure that there's enough energy with this gigantic AI arms race, they're calling it now, with these data centers. And so I saw this. The Department of Energy has issued a $1 billion loan to Constellation Energy to restart the nuclear generating station in Pennsylvania, formerly known as Three Mile Island. Do you find it slightly odd that there's this gigantic push now to start all this energy, you know, factors back that they said we couldn't have anymore because it wasn't green enough or whatever stupid excuse they said? And now we're putting this all these things online, dumping all this money in these gigantic areas because we need these AI data centers that nobody can really figure out how it's going to benefit anybody, right? It's faster AI with ChatGPT. And I'm like, really? They're saying that some of these AI data centers are going to pull more power than the major cities they're beside.
Oh, yeah. The need for the water, the coolant, I suppose,
right,
is the plants are unquenchable, okay, because of, for obvious reasons, but that's a big problem. But the pure existence, for example, you're referencing Three Mile Island, 100%. This is a problem, and this is a problem that's not going to go away. In fact, it's being fed. Here we go. You know, isn't it something where you can ask AI or ask ChatGPT, whatever these things are, ChatGPT, Grok, Grok or whatever, another place. You know, how convenient is that? Knowledge at your fingertips. But really, again, the question I have is at what cost? I mean, at what cost mentally? How about accuracy? And what cost in the global scheme? And you just nailed it. So you know, folks, watch out for this, because we should not, you know, if you're using AI, seriously, why? Because no, go ahead.
I mean, yes. I get, there's certain sectors that I've seen now, especially in like the online community, that they've done certain things with AI and certain things to generate either, you know, quick quibs or like photos or certain things. I get the base context of it, but there's this aspect that's expanding with AI that a lot of these groups, companies, individual sectors are starting to pretend. And they are pretending, because I think everybody knows it. There's no way that AI is the end all be all unless we want to surrender essentially everything over to them, period. Right. You know, AI is going to continue to keep being funded and funded and funded and produce more and more of this content. But at what cost? I feel like AI has a place in online aspects as a tool, not a crutch. And this functioning now of these giant AI data centers of what they're trying to roll in now to the regular communities and like over in Texas. I mean, there's some areas now they're sucking up all the water platforms that are over there. Like the cities can't even get enough water for the homeowners because these data centers are going to be essentially using all the water for the coolant systems. And I guess you roll back into it now and you go, okay, obviously there's something more nefarious for this, because to put this much money to have BlackRock, you know, with NVIDIA and all these gigantic corporations, hedge funds, equity platforms are all coming in and they're saying, you know, everything's AI, this AI, AI, AI. In my opinion, I think exactly what's tying into is with Palantir and all the other platforms that want to start monitoring, and not just monitoring and analyzing and putting out algorithms. They want to start changing, as I think I talked about on last show 2 weeks ago, because it's getting creepier, is that they want to change the entire mindset of people's basically activity. They want to go in and change people's behavior and how they think with all these social media platforms, and AI is going to be used for that. But at the end of the day, it's like, even if you're these, you know, banker boys that love free air and you're doing all this stuff, at what cost? You know what I mean? Exactly. What's the end game with this? Because quite frankly, in my opinion, this stuff isn't sustainable long term. It really isn't. And it's like, so where are we going to go with this? I don't know. But I saw that as far as with Three Mile Island up near you. And I was like, that's funny. That thing's been out of commission for a while. And I was getting booted up just to make sure there's enough power for these AI data centers. That's a pretty big push. So, again,
yeah. And I remember Three Mile Island when it happened. China Center, yeah. In the movie, and then Three Mile Island. Boy, I'll tell you, that was what a coincidence that was. But anyway, yeah. So I get that. And it's not, you know, it's far enough away from me. I'm closer to the one in Ohio than I am at 3 Mile. But the bottom line is, yeah, the questions have to be raised. We have to watch what's going on. And to the extent possible, we have to not comply with the things that they want us to comply with, or else we, you know, it's engineered consent. That's all. Go ahead.
Pretty much. That's exactly what it is. Is what they did with the COVID shot. You know, they made everybody sign forms that was going to get the injection, and people didn't even know what they were getting injected with, but they signed off on it because the mainstream media changed everybody's mindset in an area that they were okay with accepting a hypodermic needle in their shoulder was something they didn't even know was in it. Yeah. And that's where you see now with these topics where so many people don't even have any information or any knowledge of what they're doing or accepting or consenting to, but yet they're going along with it because there's so much significant control. Again, with AI being injected to what these different topics are telling people. And it's fairly creepy, you know. And switching gears, this is something I saw earlier and I covered earlier on the shows this week, is the EPA is now accused of protecting itself, not public health, as the water fluoridation battle heats up. And it's ironic. EPA is like trying to hold the line. It's like the hill they want to die on about water fluoridation. And there's not been any significant research that's actually been able to be replicated or anything that's been shown that fluoride usage truly like helps teeth. It protects teeth. It strengthens enamel. There's not any. There's different little sections of these topics that they've done in these tests, but there's never been any long-term research. And the side effects that fluoride causes is so significant, and the EPA has just been doubling down on it. It says the legal battle over fluoridated drinking water escalated when attorneys for Food and Water Watch, Fluoride Action Network, and other plaintiffs filed a brief accusing the U.S. EPA of trying to protect the EPA from the public. Meaning they didn't want to have any exposure of what they've been doing, and they tried to essentially put a guard up and say, well, the public can't come against us. We're the EPA. We're the all-powerful federal government. We don't care if you don't like it, you don't agree with it, the science doesn't match. We're the EPA. You can't do anything. It says the outcome of the agency's appeal will shape federal oversight of community water fluoridation and also determine how much power citizens have to force regulatory action when new scientific action emerges. This is huge, because what happened was in July, when the EPA appealed the federal court ruling that ordered it to take action to address the risk posed by water fluoridation, the agency didn't challenge the court's findings that current fluoridation risk or a pose of unreasonable risk of neurodevelopment harm to children. Instead, the EPA argued that the court improperly relied on research, including a multi-year study by the federal government National Toxicity Program, published after the plaintiffs filed the petition. The agency claimed that the newer evidence should not have been admissible and that the EPA shouldn't be compelled to act because it didn't have the data when the petition was first filed. So they didn't come back and say, wow, that's crazy. I cannot believe it's showing that. Maybe fluoride is a neurotoxin. The data showed those. They said, oh, well, we can't rely on any of that data because we didn't have access to it. So we're just going to say that fluoride's still healthy and safe for you. You need to keep putting it in your water and your toothpaste and your mouthwash. The EPA challenged the plaintiff's legal standing in the court's authority to manage the record, and positions that the plaintiff argued are both legally supported and factually inaccurate. The EPA has its way. Many threatened citizens will be unable to sue. Experts will be able to rely on new studies, even when the EPA concedes that there is indisputable central to the case. The judges would be hesitant to ensure the highly consequential decisions take action of what both parties consider to be the strongest science. So essentially what it's saying is the EPA is the end-all, be-all knowledge of all environmental protection. Doesn't matter what happens, no science can occur anything different than what the EPA says. This is insane. And the fact of the matter is, and I brought this up earlier in the year, because I said the fact of the matter is that the EPA sees this study. They see that it causes significant neurodevelopment problems in children. It sees that it drops IQ points in children. And they say, that's irrelevant. We don't agree with it, so it doesn't matter. And this again goes to show you, with the EPA as far as undersight that it's had, and the inability to regulate itself, and it's just done what it's wanted to do. It started with Obama, it got significantly worse, even under the first reign of Trump, and now it's finally starting to get reined back. This again is another reason why you've got to do your own research on your health. You can't rely on the government. The government, excuse my language, freaking hates you.
No, I mean,
they do. They do not like us. The deep state, should I say, a lot of the Republicans or Democrats in both sides that actually are still trying to be a government by the people, few, small amount, I'll say that. But the vast majority of the government agencies, they're only concerned about their budget, their continual job presence, and their ability to justify their own existence. Let's just be real. Yeah. I've met a lot of them, and they can't come up with anything legitimate. They can't rebuttal what you say to them. All they say is, well, it's the law or it's a mandate. Okay, so 10 different scientific studies have come out now and rebutted everything you guys have tried to do 20 years ago. Doesn't matter.
But the actions that you reference, this is Trump's EPA right now?
Well, it's the Trump EPA has gone rogue flat out. This right. happened back before Trump was elected, as far as when the EPA started this, and they're continuing to do it. And basically, Trump hasn't stopped them any further. They've rolled back a lot of these restrictions with emissions and stuff like that. But the fluoridation topic has been a very, very delicate place. I've noticed that now. It's right up there almost with vaccines. And the reason why I personally think, so this is my opinion, is that majority of the individuals that are in the know, the deep state boys, the banker boys, they know how important fluoride is to reducing neurodevelopment and causing significant cognitive problems. They know it drops IQ points. They know it calcifies the pineal gland. They know this stuff. They've seen the documentation and the research since Dachau after World War II. They know what it does. That's why fluoride got added to the water right after World War II. if it was such a great product and we knew it was this byproduct of basically aluminum and phosphate production, why in the world was it in the water long before that? It's because it's a neurotoxin. It's unbelievably corrosive. You can't use it in anything. And now a lot of these cities now have pulled it out of the water because they've seen the research and the citizens have gone, you know, nuts about it. And so now the EPA wants to come in and basically go, it doesn't matter what the local municipalities say. The EPA is the end all be all. And this shows you again why you've got to be active. Before I go on a further rant with the EPA and all the insane stuff they do with diesel trucks, that's my final aspect with it, is they think they're above the law, just like a lot of these agencies do, and they can do anything they want. And, it's not true.
Yeah, and we have to stand up that. For those counties, for example, that want to embrace stuff, this and things like this, you can form a group, show up, say no, stop. You know, here's the research. If you allow this in to our water system here in our municipality or whatever county, then it's on you. We're going to get you out. And but that, again, identify the problem. The solution would be to hit this. You can't do it on the federal level. Do it locally. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, it is. Florida's been the second state to ban fluoride. We're the second state. DeSantis, listen, we talk. Right. We continually made stinks about all this, the counties, and it's the second state now to ban fluoridation in the water communities. And so again, it's another aspect of getting vocal, getting involved, and making sure you talk about the topics that nobody is pretty much allowed to talk about, because those are the ones that are the most important.
Okay.
Honestly, realistically, yeah. In my opinion.
I get it. Okay. So did you say something about diesel trucks? Because of, or no.
Trucks, don't get me started. Well, okay. So for years now, since 2000,
go wherever you want to go. I just didn't want to knock you off your stride, if that's where.
Well, no, I'll make it short. It's a long, detailed analysis of this. So since 2008, diesel trucks have had what's called DPF filters, diesel particulate filters, and then you have to put DEF fluid, which is basically urea, piss, basically what it is, with water inside this another tank in the truck, and it runs it through the DPF filter to clean it out, and it lowers the soot. Allegedly, is what EPA says. Here's the ironic part. This is the part that's really, before I just start going off on it, all the manufacturers, Ford, GM, Dodge, Mopar, any of them, they all have platforms with their diesel trucks that these trucks are allowed to be ordered with zero emissions, no EGR, no DPF, nothing. If they go to military bases, if they get exported to other countries and overseas, if they go to Qatar, if they go to South America, they have no emission standards nor any emission requirement at all. Yet the United States has to abide by all this insane EPA, especially emission regulation, and it takes the trucks from, you know, 25, 30, 35 miles a gallon, I'm talking about full-size trucks, down to low teens on a regular basis, cooks the turbos, makes them unreliable as crap. You can't get 100,000 miles past a new truck now without completely grenading the whole entire emission system and the turbo system. Just cooks off. Then you got to spend tens of thousands of dollars to repair it, or you're violating federal law. And so a lot of that stuff now has been turned back. And they're starting to say by 2027, these companies, GM and Ford, allegedly, we'll see what happens, are going to offer these trucks in certain states to be ordered without DPF filters. Again, we'll see what happens. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one, though, because that would be a great
cluster that whole thing is. And then
you got like 2.5 gallon plastic tanks and cardboard boxes with DEF in them, and pour it in the truck and then throw it in the trash can to go another 2,000 miles without the truck shutting down. It's obscene. It's obscene in the diesel industry. The semi-trucks have had the same problem, and they've already shown now that it doesn't reduce any significant amount of soot, because you burn 2 to 3 times the amount of fuel with these systems, but yet you're being green because it has a filter on the end of it. I'm like, how's it help if it burns 3 times the amount of fuel, but it's slightly cleaner emissions? Do the math. The math never adds with anybody I've looked at on there, so it's just...
That's maddening. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
The down here in Florida as well, since I'm on a Florida kick right now, Operation Home for the Holidays, U.S. Marshals in Florida now, if you saw this, located 122 missing children. They've now got them, and majority of them are being reunited with their families. And they said the child range in age was from 23 months to 17 years old. The agency's office said in a statement released with the FBI, some of the children had disclosed experiences related to various types of abuse and other criminal activity. And this is another reason why, and it's crazy. and this, I hate having to say this, Tampa was the highest amount as far as of kids that were child trafficked that they got a hold of. 57 kids were recovered in the last week in Tampa. Fort Myers was 29, Jacksonville's 22, Orlando's 14. Tampa was almost 2 to 3 times higher than anywhere else in the entire state. Tampa, I've gone there many times. There's a lot of cool things to do out in Tampa. If you have kids, be so cautious about who's watching you, where you're at, what you're doing. Keep an eye on them. Worst case scenario, if you, I don't like this all the time, if you have to, put a doggone air tag in their shoes or something. I mean, do something, because it is becoming an issue that nobody addresses, Doug. The child abductions and trafficking in Tampa is at a level that's almost above anything else in the entire state, and nobody talks about it in Tampa as far as mainstream media. It's like, don't bring it up. Not a topic. Hurts, basically, it hurts all the, you know, the revenue coming in from all the people that want to visit Tampa and everybody that wants to come down on vacation, especially with kids, and go to Busch Gardens and all these places. It is a big problem. The numbers don't lie. It's a serious issue. If you come down to Florida, if you can legally do so, I heard you on the show earlier, and I highly agree with you on this, carry a firearm, but please know how to use it. Don't be that chump that walks around with a pistol stuffed in a holster, and you have no idea how to even clear a stovepipe or something else that malfunctions with a gun. Ooh, gun good. I'm going to put it in my pants. And they give you a negligent discharge and shoot yourself in the leg or somebody else. Don't be that guy. If you're going to carry, know how to train, know how to operate, know how to move, know how to reload, know the difference between cover and concealment. And on top of that, keep an eye on your kids at all times, because apparently I'm like one of the only people that brings it up. I warn people about this all the time, and people go, really? That's a problem in Florida? Dude, it's freaking Port of Tampa and the Port of Ybor are the biggest trafficking ports, even over Miami, in my opinion, law enforcement's opinion up here, than any other part of the state. It's a problem. Address it. Know it. Be vigilant if you come down here. That's my stance.
Yeah, punch home that point, we had an operation in Florida, Shatter Ops and Save Them, as well as some. It began in a funky way, but the bottom line was during the Biden era, the FBI said, you know, don't be poking around in this area about the child abductions. And I'm not lying about this. And it was one of the weirdest things, but it was exactly where you're talking about. Yep. And the problem was increasing at that time. And, you know, just enough. You're right. You're right. And folks understand this. Kids do get snatched. Do not believe the official numbers, because those numbers are massaged downward a lot. But there's a lot of stranger abductions. There's a lot of CPS abductions, and I say that with purpose. And there are a lot of instances of. I'll just stop there. You get the idea. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, exactly. You can look it up. If you want to be vigilant, you want to get involved in as far as with anybody, make sure you are doing your research on as far as trying to help a lot of these agencies, because there's sometimes they need people that can help them out. But again, know what you're getting involved in with this. I've known people that have gotten involved in it that have been trying to make a difference in a positive manner. It is a very dark world, so understand that. But if you have kids, be aware when you take them out in public, especially in Florida. It sucks to have that conversation, but it is what it is. And one last topic that I wanted to cover for the night, and this is something that comes to home ownership in Florida, since we're on this rant with Florida right now. D.R. Horton has now been drug into a RICO case. D.R. Horton is pretty much the largest home building company, along with their own mortgage lending subsidiary. So they have their own realtors, their own builders, their own contractors, and their own mortgage lenders. And they are now in a full-blown multi-billion dollar RICO case because of what they did. Unbelievably deceptive practices. They were telling customers, or basically new homeowners, first-time homeowners, that they were going to have X amount price, like a $2,000 mortgage, giving them an ultra-low mortgage rate, interest rate on these great alleged houses. The houses end up being crap. They've always been crap from them. Let's just be real. What they do as far as the inspections, the quality they use is trash. Most of the houses from the contractors I personally know, they pay about $80,000 to $90,000. That's their net, the full net cost to actually build these houses. And then they turn around, they sold them for $400,000 or $500,000. And then what happened was, after a few months, the new homeowners all excited, they're in their little house, and they get hit with, oh, well, the property taxes were initially suppressed by the original home builder. And the insurance you know, proposal after your 6 month is going up as well. So these guys and girls and gals and families and, you know, couples that bought these houses for, you know, $2,000 a month, they thought they were getting in something, suddenly get notified that their payment's going to be $3,100, $3,400, $3,500 a month. And it put a lot of, I'm talking hundreds of thousands of people underwater, and it's getting worse now. And so they're a full-blown RICO case. Take that for what it is. You can look that up. But if you're looking at buying houses down here in Florida, be very careful, because this is one of the most scammy states in the whole country when it comes to the housing market.
The scam that you're referencing, is that perpetrated by the, as you mentioned, the builder, the or is there a regulation?
That's why it's a RICO case. Okay. Basically, they brought it in as racketeering and corruption, organization, basically organized crime. Because they came in and they had the realtors involved with the home builders, involved with the developers, involved with the mortgage lenders, and they were all aware of what was happening on the entire front to back line of it. That's why it turned into a RICO case. And this is something that I've warned people about for years with some of these home builders. Don't trust anything down here in Florida. Get a second or third or fourth opinion, especially if you're going to start getting massively in debt with something. Just my take on it. You know, make sure you know who you're getting involved with, because these big names, they sound great. They're advertised everywhere. You think they're good. They come out with great prices. Most time in Florida, if it sounds too good to be true on any topic, it probably is. Just a fact of life with Florida.
100%.
Yeah. But it's down here.
and you know, look, I remember when I bought my first house. I mean, I was really stupid, and Carter was president, right? So you have to be nuts to buy it in that. Look, you do your homework. Austin's right. Make sure you really understand. And, you know, it is geographically specific. There are landmines, metaphorically speaking, in different states. Florida, of course, watch out for that. Austin, continue. Look, we can go into overtime, and sometimes a lot of stuff happens in overtime that's really valuable. So it's up to you. You know, if you have more, let's get your full hour here, because I'm telling you, man, I appreciate everything you do. And folks, you can support, please support the Ted and Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, purchasing their supplements, the quality stuff. And, you know, if you look through what they have, okay, I mean, they've got some hardware like distillers, for example, and other items that, hey, will make your life a lot easier, I'm telling you, and a lot more enriched. Healthmasters.com, DH5 for 5% off. But again, feel free to continue, because it's a lot of information. And I think people, again, you know, look, don't be information collectors, folks. Act on the knowledge that you have. So be forewarned about the property traps purchases in Florida. So, but feel free to continue, sir.
Well, one thing I wanted to cover, this primarily on the website that I've been really been building an entire platform of information channels, is the article page. And this is something that I've been trying to get a lot of people out there so they can see what's going on, because I've been working with Harrison, my brother, who's an attorney, and multiple other people as far as getting intel and knowledge and context and just information from all the different nutritional supplemental platforms. And this is something that we write these articles every day, the stuff we talk about on the show, that we want everybody to realize, you know, there's articles on ashwagandha, resveratrol, D3, multivitamin. These are just the top four that are on this page. So on the site at healthmasters.com, if you click the articles, this is a really, really big thing that I want people to realize, that we put so much information on here, and it's free, guys. I'm not charging you guys a subscription. I'm not this website that's going to go in now and start, well, you got to subscribe to this. I want you guys to support us because you want to support us. Quite frankly, I put more content out than vast majority of other sites do that even they charge you for. Most of the stuff you find out on most mainstream media platforms is all pure propaganda. It really is. And I try to back everything in science and facts and data, and I want people to be able to make their own decisions and find their own information. And so that's pretty much what I want to close with tonight.
Okay.
I went through a bunch of articles earlier here. I'm gonna get some food, head to bed here shortly. Okay. It's been one of those, you know, 5 a.m. but much longer, it's gonna be another 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. night, or 5 a.m. night again.
I'd love it.
Yeah, I'd encourage people, look at the research on the site. Look at the articles page. Everything we're doing for y'all. And I appreciate your support of Hagmann. We're pushing through this as much as we can. This is a crazy world. Crazy times. I mean, you see, Doug, some of the topics that are going on right now are just like,
And that's why
I didn't describe them.
You know what, Austin? And that's why I spent the time, because we talk about problems, but there's a complaint out there. You know, you don't offer any solutions. Well,
yeah.
You know, let's
try to.
There you go. You've, and in terms of your health research, I guess I can say this. My doctor does frequent your articles page. I'm just saying. So make of that what you will. So it's valued information. And I appreciate that a lot of stuff in the research that the Health Masters Austin Brewer does, as well as Ted. So it's all good. It's all good. But we have to, with all the stuff going on,